Hey, you guys, happy new year. I'm just letting you know that me, Jackie Angel, I started a new podcast called the Memorized Scripture Podcast because as Catholics, we are like known notoriously for not knowing scripture. And the kind of the theme of the scripture podcast is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which is Colossians 3:16. And I just love that. Like letting the word really dwell in us means that we have to memorize scripture. And when you memorize scripture, something that I've been doing for, I think since I was 18, when I was a young apostle at a Steubenville conference, they made us do this and it has changed my life because now I can recall scripture in all times of my life, whether it's my own personal prayer, times that I'm like struggling in times that are going beautifully great. I can recall scripture with my kids, when I'm giving talks, when I'm doing apologetics, whatever it is. Memorizing scripture is so beautiful. So this is for anybody. This is for moms who want to teach their kids scripture. This podcast is like super short, 2 to 5 minutes a week. It's a weekly scripture. There's a theme every month, and every week the scripture will get more difficult, and then every month it'll reset to like easy. So if you only want to do the easy ones, great. But this is for teachers who want to use it with their students. This is for young adults. This is for Catholics of all ages who just want to let the word dwell in them. So it's called Memorize Scripture Podcast. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple. If you comment or like it, it'll help to get it more seen because when I like looked it up, I like didn't even appear. I'm like, oh, it's not even there. So anyways, share it with your friends. You can do this with anybody. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Memorize Scripture Podcast. Thank you guys. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Jackie Angel, one of your hosts. We're swapping today because it's just easier with the children and camera-wise. But so great to be with you, Sister Tracy. We were at a mom's retreat this weekend together.
I know.
Which is beautiful.
I was told, like as it was happening, I was like, only you, God, can make all these things happen.
Yeah. And those 99 women, those beautiful hearts.
Yes. And he was, you could see he was acting.
God was working. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes is St. Ephrem the Syrian. This isn't a direct quote. It's like a paraphrase because I reread it. I was like, oh, that's not, it's close. It's like essentially crying is a sign that God's working in you.
I am a total believer in that.
Well, I'm a crier, so I believe it.
Me too. When I have the Holy Spirit, I am a wet rag, and I love it. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I know this is you.
So when you see tears flowing, you're like, all right, God's working.
Yeah.
God's doing something.
I mean, of course, I have also the other reasons I cry, but when it's prayer and, he can wash over me, and it's liquid.
Yeah. So, Bobby interviewed you. You guys talked about your story, your testimony, your call to be a sister. And I want to ask you, so someone once drew a diagram for me that was very helpful of like when it comes to vocation, like it's this inner circle, like every one of us, our vocation is love. St. Teresa said, like our vocation is love.
Right.
We're called to love God, our neighbor as ourselves. Like every human being, that's our vocation. Mm-hmm. And then the wider, like there was a circle around it that said, but then all of us have a vocation. Mm-hmm. We're called to live a life of celibacy or we're called to marriage. And celibacy can look a few different ways. Mm-hmm. It can be religious. It can be a single celibate. It's essentially, there's a vow at some point that's taken. Mm-hmm. How are we going to love God best? So we're all called to love, but do we love God best in celibacy or do we love where we can give our full, we forego earthly marriage and anticipate the heavenly marriage, right? Or we're called to love in marriage and be open to children. And then the bigger vocation is like our job. You know, what job am I called to? How am I called to live this out in the world?
Yes.
So the question we receive a lot is how do I discern my vocation? So I would love, you share that with Bobby a bit and let's go a little deeper because people are like, how do I discern my vocation? How do I know God's will for my life? So what do you say to that when people ask you, like, how do I know God's will?
Yeah. So I think over my experience of my own vocation, watching and maybe walking with other folks who are also discerning, I would say one of the primary objectives on a human Christian formation level is learn how to pray.
Yeah.
Learn how to discern the voice of God. Learn how to open the path for him to speak. Because our vocation and confirmation of where we're called, because I have to also say, it's not like he says it to you audibly. Like I also, when I spoke with Bobby, spoke about how I learned about prayer through a boyfriend. And for him, well, for me at the time, prayer was about religion.
Right.
And what he introduced to me was prayer was about relationship.
Yeah.
Relating your life to God and allowing God to relate to you. And so there was sort of an audible speaking image about that. But I would say God can speak through so many ways because he knows of what we are made. And sometimes it's just an inner peace. Sometimes it's not words, but it's like, I know that I know that
which
this is right.
Which people hate when you like, you know when you know.
I know. Because,
but the confirmation is that there is that peace. The
yes.
fruits of the Spirit, right? Peace, joy. There's a generosity. There's a mm-hmm. goodness. Mm-hmm. That's a confirmation like, whoa.
Yeah.
There was a nun one time that said, I felt home.
Yes.
Now, for some people, the term home is not a good connotation. It's like a place of safety.
Yes.
So home should be like in a good home.
Yes.
Should have been a place where you felt like safe.
Yeah, safe and also free to
free.
Be.
Yes, free.
Free to be
yeah.
who you are without having to or being in any way or in ways that are manipulative yeah. or... So, but it's almost like when I say pray, it's almost as though what I'm really saying is learn what is God's language with you. Mm. Because like for me, I know that my prayer is oftentimes the time of prayer. So as a religious, we have certain times of you go to chapel, mm-hmm. you put your body in front of the body of Jesus. And you let that be a time of communion. But there's also, through the course of a day, times where if I look back on it, I can see how God was present to me. Mm-hmm. Or I could hear how he was calling me to purification.
Yeah.
Or how he was permitting a sorrow, but he's on the other end being good to me.
Yeah.
And it's only, I would say... So when I speak about prayer, it's subjective. It's our personal making a move toward God, like showing up, like opening. And if anything, I tell this to people all the time. The disciple said it best. Lord, teach us how to pray. He will teach you. If you don't know what to do, he will teach you. And sometimes it's just a matter of receiving his teaching as it comes. Mm-hmm. But also to go to the sources of grace. Opening a way for that to happen. So my prayer has to be preceded or couched within a life that is sacramentally fed mm-hmm. because there ain't nothing that'll mess with your connection with God as sin.
So you need to be in a state of grace.
It helps.
because blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God.
Yeah.
And so when we don't live in a state of grace, it is very hard to see God.
It is.
It's like when people are in a relationship and they're in a bad relationship and they're doing things they know they shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard. It becomes very muddied and unclear. Like,
yeah.
Hey, y'all should have broken up at the 1 month mark. But because you were doing this,
yeah.
you were emotionally unchaste. You were physically unchaste. You were in that relationship for like a year and a half. Because you were so blinded because mm-hmm. of that. So yeah, it's like being in a state of grace.
Yeah.
And allows you to see God and to hear God.
And
more
he's
clearly.
So patient with us that he's gonna meet us where we are.
Yeah.
And he's not gonna have expectations that we're not there yet, you know?
Yeah.
So to have the trust that we take the next best step toward him and whatever obstacles or whatever might be in the way that we use the means given to us by the church. To get those out of the way. And so that his voice can be clearer because also sin can make things very confusing and very complicated. Now granted, complication is part of our human reality. But when we can be fed by grace, sometimes the complications can be just a little less and the light can be a little clearer.
Yeah. And something you said, like for a lot of young adults who are in this like tug of discernment or even adults, like I have a lot of friends in their 30s and 40s who are like, I want to be married. Like, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, come on. You know, I'm like 40. I've met multiple women who are like 50 when they got married and they said they were like, it was worth waiting for.
Yes.
It was absolutely. I met a 60-year-old woman. She came. She's like, I'm 60 and I'm engaged for the first time. She's like, tell people it was worth waiting.
Ooh.
Because what's the result is like you grasp and you settle for like your will versus God's will. And I'm like, dude, I would rather be single and happy in Jesus than be in a miserable marriage.
Yeah.
I will say it over and over again. And I have met women who have confirmed it. They're like, I was 50, I was 60. Like I have seen it confirmed, you know?
Yeah.
But so many young adults I see, like they almost make an idol out of the vocation when the whole point is your first vocation is God and it's love and that intimacy with God. So we're like, what is my, it's like, just have like, first let's work on that relationship with God. Yeah. And like loving him more than anything. So yeah, if people like constantly like, what's my vocation?
Yeah, and I think also too, like nothing is wasted.
Nothing is wasted.
We're like that time of like what would feel like this like lingering, questioning, waiting, wasting of time, you know, oh, you know, I might not be able to, you know, if it's going to take that long, will I still be called to have a child, you know? Yeah. Those are real questions.
Yeah.
But sometimes to make the gift, because that's what love is, right? It's even not so much just feeling good. Like, because I think that objectification of, oh, if I just figure out, like, if I'm supposed to be a sister or if I'm supposed to be married, once I do that, I'm going to be good.
Or I'll be happy.
Uh-huh. And what about no? What about it's, What is my vocation in this present moment?
Like today.
Yeah.
Because you might die. I mean, for me, when I was single, I was like, I might die tomorrow. What if I die tomorrow? I'm kind of morbid. I'm like, hashtag, you know, like.
No, hey, you know what?
That's memento very mori. Like, I could die tomorrow.
Healthy, healthy.
Well, so when I was single, I'm like, what if I die tomorrow? Maybe my vocation's in heaven with Jesus. Like, yeah. There are so many saints that.
Yes, yes. So, like, yeah, being present to where I really am.
Yeah.
But also, if God kind of delays. I always think of, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. And he's like, you know, in for some, God's timing might seem like he's really delayed. But for God, 1,000 years are like a day. And he waits so that more can come to repentance. Wow. And to me, that's like, what does that mean? In this kind of context, I feel it's like the Lord is saying, when you're ready to make that gift of yourself, because that's what I was thinking about love. Like love is not just a feeling, but it's the sincere gift of self. Yeah. Perhaps he is allowing me to take hold of the actual gift of who I am, develop that gift through that time of waiting, being able to be purified. And then when the time is God's time, I'll make that gift. But then that is only a moment. The gift is until he calls me home to eternity.
I love that. No time is wasted.
None. Oh, I'm so convinced
of that.
Every
day, take things day by day. Mm-hmm. Like live your life being a gift today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then, yeah, during that whole waiting, hold on, is there a child?
They're being very discreet.
It's like there was a child behind me
getting
a snack.
You wouldn't even know.
That was weird. I was like, I feel an Esther in my presence over here. It was very cute. But yeah, day by day, it is really, really difficult in the waiting. But yeah, it's like love
God. And in
God.
A way, it's your practice.
It's a practice.
It's your, like, you're living and building the habit.
And I always, my kind of thing was for myself, I had my little quips for myself to help myself. I was like, okay, the longer I wait, the better he'll be. Because if I'm growing, that means he's growing. I sure hope. I'm praying for him.
Yeah.
Growing too.
Yeah.
You know, like I think like if Bobby and I had met in college, we would not have been on the same page. I'd been like, yeah, I'm not dating you.
Yeah, no,
or
thank
married.
You.
We were not there. We weren't there yet. Like God had us at the right time. But also thinking like when it comes to being a nun and like discerning a specific, because if you are called to be religious, you're also discerning the particular order you're called to.
Right.
And some orders will not feel home. And some orders you'll be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that, I would love for you to share about the charism of your order and how you felt. Like, did you discern other orders or was this the first one you discerned? And so tell us about the charism and how you knew this was what you were called to.
So again, the Daughters of St. Paul, we're apostolic. So we're not monastic. So we do not live in a monastery, and our main apostolate or work is prayer. That is a contemplative vocation. Ours is apostolic. So technically we're not nuns. Technically we're sisters.
So nuns, yeah, the true phrase for nun would be someone who's a contemplative.
Yeah, who's okay, a monastic, whose life is prayer is the priority of the actual work of the day. Yeah. So like when the bell rings and it's a certain time of prayer, they drop whatever they're doing. They head to chapel and they do the prayer because that's their work.
Question, because I've had people say this to me. I've had friends say this. Mm. Like, why would God call some nuns like never to be in the world? Mm. And all they do is pray all day.
Mm. All I can say.
I mean, I know my answer. What would you say?
Yeah. So I had an experience of making an 8-day silent retreat at a Poor Clare community. Okay. And it was during Holy Week. And I forget which hour of the day it was, but we were chanting the Psalms. And the way the chapel was built, this was on close to Magazine Street in New Orleans. So there's this monastery right in the middle, you know, of this New Orleans. And they were chanting. And I was sitting in a kind of a back pew. And the way the chapel was that it was sort of a side chapel. Anyway, music is important to me. I love it. Mm-hmm. And they were chanting, and it was as though their chanting, the sound, went up and out behind me and it came back to me, like a mm-hmm. circle. And it was like God gave me an image that their prayer reverberates through the world. Yeah. They're like the heartbeat of the heart of the church, begging God for mercy, for help, for providence on our behalf, for those of us who cannot, do not pray every hour of the day. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, they're like our sisters. Mm-hmm. They're with us. They're who we are. They're human. But they're like preaching and begging and praying and interceding on our behalf who cannot live that vocation every, as they do.
Yeah, hour. And truthfully, like we don't see the spiritual battle.
Uh-huh.
And so if we don't really believe that prayer is really fighting that spiritual battle in the world, mm-hmm. I think that's the problem. It's like, then you don't, like if people say, well, they're not in the world. Like all they're doing is praying all day. What is that doing? Why they could be, it's like, then y'all don't understand mm-hmm. the invisible spiritual battle that you can't see. Well, I mean, right. Some people can see if you're Padre Pio.
They
like,
see
I see
it.
Angels and demons. And I'm like, okay, well, some of y'all
I know.
Can see it.
I'm glad it's not me.
Discernment of spirits over here. Yeah. But there's a real battle for
yeah.
souls.
Yes.
And
yes.
So their prayers are fighting that,
yes.
that battle.
Yes. And that's one thing we do share as co-religious mm-hmm. is this spiritual maternity. Yeah. It's a spiritual motherhood. And actually that image that he gave me, it was almost like the sound was coming in and scooping the rest of us up. Mm-hmm. So it was like being carried, even though it's spiritual, there was a power of the spirit that is fortifying and strengthening faith and building hope and increasing love, like in the hearts of people. So it's real. It might not be tangible, but we know that which is intangible is often more real.
Right.
So yeah, it's powerful.
So some are called to be monastic, mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. are called to be contemplative, and mm-hmm. some are called to be apostolic, meaning
right.
There are some Dominicans or teachers. Mm-hmm. There are different orders that like the Salesians are like youth ministry, and
yes.
your guys' charism
yes.
is media.
Right. And so in a sense, it's like the church in her wisdom and in the way the Lord has built his church is that we're, as Jesus spent nights in prayer, he also lived his days in service. And so he healed, he taught, he preached, he was a presence. So every religious apostolic order, and apostle means to be sent. So you have something that you're sent out to give. Mm-hmm. And so for us, our founder was actually, we're kind of a young order in the long view of the church. And our founder was a priest, a diocesan priest in Northern Italy, but really was convinced that if Paul were alive today, he was founding the order through him. Mm. And so Paul had this life-changing encounter with the risen Lord. And it changed everything. And every gift he had, which he had many, and he also was volatile too, but he used his gifts to tell that story and in a sense to channel the grace of it, you know, to make a way for it in minds and hearts. So our founder said, well, if Paul were alive today, he would take up the microphone. He would tell the story through the written word. He would preach. And so that's what we follow. Mm-hmm. And that's our charismatic gift to the church.
And so using all means, obviously through books, yes, through movies, through media, yes, and now through social media.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to know when that came on the scene, because I'm thinking,
I know.
I mean, I'm thinking back to college days to MySpace, you know.
I remember MySpace too, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Facebook, mm-hmm, and then Instagram, and they, mm-hmm, all start, and Twitter, like all, mm-hmm, these things start popping up, and then, yes, Snapchat, and then TikTok. It's, yes, like, okay, so when that all starts popping up, I mean, I would love to, like, in the order, the, mm-hmm, discernment of, like, mm-hmm, do we go in
these?
Do
we do this?
Yeah, do we? Yeah, well, do, yeah, you have any insight? Like, were you, like, so, have you heard the conversations, like, how that went?
Yeah, I lived it. I mean, I was there. I think, you know, what motivates a daughter of St. Paul is the spirit of St. Paul. And so it's like before we even can really see the whole of it, we're already asking questions about,
right,
like, how would he be in it? Mm-hmm. Not if, how?
Right.
And how is, I think, the most appropriate question, because it's not like you just kind of willy-nilly, blindly just adapt to whatever.
You're, right, right.
And that's really in any engagement with the media culture that we live in. We don't advocate for the extremes, because that wasn't the heart of our founder.
Right.
Because even at his time, he said, you know, the enemy utilizes powers of the world to disseminate lies. Mm. So we have to counter that with truth. But it's not just to get in a fight.
Right.
But it's to appeal to the deeper intelligence of the human heart that, mm, can smell a rat, that knows when I'm being lied to.
Yeah.
And so we appeal and attract by the truth, but we also do it in a way that we are engaged. We hear the cries of humanity, and many times they're spoken or they're expressed in fallen ways.
Right.
But as a believer, just because you might use foul language, or you might do it in a poor way, a way that is reflects your interior poverty. Can I hear what is being said? Can I hear the cry, yeah, of the heart? And does the word of God have a response?
Yeah. And I think that's anyone who evangelizes, that is the question, like, how? What's, yes, like, what's the most effective way? Like, we're, mm-hmm, not just here to be here.
Right. And just, like, add to the cacophony of the world.
Yeah. And just be another, like, we're really trying to bring light into the darkness.
Yes.
Because I have some friends who aren't on social media at, mm-hmm, all. And for some people, that is a discernment that,
yes,
yeah, some people struggle with having, like, an addictive personality. Like, uh-huh, I need to learn how to, mm-hmm, and so maybe for now I'm not on there. Or, like, mm-hmm, you know, like, I have friends who have kids who are like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I will scroll. Like, I just can't, like,
yep,
right now.
Yep.
And that's fine.
Yep.
So even that discernment for some people to be on social media, mm-hmm, is, mm-hmm, like, do I be on it? Do I not be on it?
I'm so glad you're saying that, because not all of us are called at all times to the fullest degree to be engaged. Mm. Even I and many of our sisters, there's a time to engage. There's a time to step back and maybe reassess, because perhaps I'm noticing that I'm addicted to scrolling once, yeah, I start. So what stops me? Maybe I just, there's some things I have to look at.
Yeah.
And so we are really the what's the word? The guardian, like, we're entrusted to ourselves. And we have to be able to make discernments in real right, time, in the reality. And is this drawing me closer to my mission and my vocation and my responsibilities that I've committed to?
Right.
And if it isn't, what needs to change? Mm-hmm. And maybe what is being expressed, I'll use scrolling, is actually has a deeper root.
Right.
If I can address the root, then I might be able to actually go back and have a little bit more presence and compassion and vigilance to discern in real time, okay, I did it, and this is what I do now.
Yeah. And you know, thank God for social media. Like, I think of YouTube, I'm like, man, I have learned so many things.
There's a
YouTube.
Lot of things.
I have learned how to install lights.
I know.
I have learned how to change my whole toilet off of YouTube.
Yay. Wow. Go
they say that most women will go to YouTube for tutorials. Uh-huh. How do I do this? Yeah. Or how do I put makeup on? Or how, whatever.
Yes.
Men, when they search for like entertainment.
Okay.
It's very, and like when they look at different searches between men and women, women are like the tutorial route, which is me. I mean, like, I'm like, how do I do this?
Yes. How long do I bake this roast?
looking for all this different stuff.
Yeah.
Social media, obviously there's beautiful things you can evangelize. Mm-hmm. And then social media has very dark. Some people are like, it's all bad. It's all terrible.
And there's not, I mean, that does not fall on deaf ears to me.
Right.
If you look, I mean, the structure of it has ends that are not always going to promote. They don't promote the health of the human person.
Well, they're and they've shown that through that one documentary. What was
that? Yes.
I'm blanking. Bobby, what was the documentary?
The Social Dilemma.
The Social Dilemma. Thank you.
Social Dilemma.
When you watch that and you're like, oh my gosh.
Chilling.
They make, when it comes to Twitter, Instagram, they almost make it to hit the part of the gambling brain.
Yeah.
To keep scrolling.
What's
to keep,
the next better
what's
thing?
An, yeah, it's like, it's a gambling. It hits into the dopamine. It hits into all those. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yes.
However, yeah, so it's like, it can be a very dark place. And even for the human person, like the studies on anxiety, depression, all that stuff with the younger generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for you guys, and this is how I have felt as well, like, It can be a very dark place, social media, in the comments. Like, when people aren't in person, they feel like they can say things you would never say to a human being in front of their face.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, some of us who are called to evangelize, we're called to be a light in the darkness. Or any Christian who is on social media, I would hope that they would show the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
And I think, I feel like, you know, we're called, our mission, in a sense, demands it, and not all to the same degree and extent.
Right.
Also, because we have some sisters that they're more like they were raised from a younger age within the culture, and they're also endowed with a wisdom that, like, I marvel at some of the their approach, their way of being present. And so sometimes I'll tell them, I leave it to the professionals. Like, it's better
the Gen
you.
Z and the young millennials.
Better you than me. But they couldn't do what they do without our little powerhouse nuns who are like nowhere near social media, but they're powerhouses of prayer.
Wow.
And powerhouses of self-gift in the midst of their sicknesses, their sufferings. And so as that body, I think as families in the world, also to remember, the body of Christ is such that perhaps it's not you.
Hmm.
Perhaps you for this time do have to disengage in this sphere right now. But it's like to live your faith in the ways that you are engaged. And if you feel like, I think sometimes God shows us our little missions in life, and maybe you will feel invited to enter that sphere, and then to equip yourself with a readiness for it. And that this is like a shift of culture that we don't know exactly how to navigate. It to me shows that's what happens.
Yeah.
And that we could have the beauty of a collective engagement and discernment to see, okay, so at this point, how should the church offer its presence?
A very practical question I have is, do you sisters go to like your mother superior or, and do you say like, hey, can I be on Twitter? Can I be on TikTok? Can I be on, like, do you guys, or how does that work? Is it your mother superior? Is that who's?
Yeah, we call her superior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or does she say, okay, you're going to run the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
I want this group. You decide amongst yourselves in this little group, like, who's going to be on, like, how does that work?
So I would say there's kind of like two sides of it, if you will. Like we have our named mission. Mm-hmm. So within the context of being a daughter of St. Paul in the United States, our works look a certain way. Like we do certain things, and like some of us sing, some of us do more administrative work. Some of us are like one-on-one with people all day long. Some are more background, some are more foreground, some are writers, editors. Part of the discernment about where you work, it's collaborative between you, the individual, and the superior, and the needs, mm-hmm. you know. Sometimes you're asked to do something that's completely outside of your little skill set. And the Lord's like, yeah, I did that on purpose so that you like depend on me more, you know. Yeah. Then there's social media, which is sort of like part of like the personal realm of the person. So I would say we don't like ask permission. It's sort of granted or accepted that if you feel called to have a presence there,
okay,
you do.
Okay, because you're on Twitter, mm-hmm. and then you're also on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram.
Okay,
and the other forums are sort of like my posts go there.
Okay,
but I'm not a big it. You know, I have my own flavor of how I'm present.
Yeah, Twitter is kind of an angry place. Instagram's supposed to be the happy place. It can be an envy, an angry place.
I know.
There's like welcome the different to things.
If the human race is part of it, yeah there you go.
Okay, so yeah, you're on Instagram and you do a lot of lettering, like beautiful.
I do.
What is your handle so people know?
It's so any good friend of mine, they just call me Sister T.
Okay.
so it's Sister T Letters. But I wrote it like the complicated phonetical way. So it's SISTAH underline TEE underline letters.
Okay.
We can post that somewhere. But so it was sort of a hobby. Mm-hmm. I was actually finishing my master's and having a really hard time staying focused. And I had highlighters and I'm an artist. So I would like draw pictures and then I got a letter in the mail. Someone wrote beautiful letters on it. And I was like, wow. And then I started to see on Instagram artists who were lettering. And as I watched their videos, I could just feel myself calming down.
Like mesmerized. Yeah. Like, ooh, ASMR.
It would let me rest.
Like, this is so calming. I had the girls watch some of yours. Like, it's like, ooh. I mean, I used to have to make signs for our, like, student government. So I had to, like, learn different letter, you know, you're just like looking styles. Like, let me learn this font. Like, how do I do this font? So I told the girls, like, sometimes you can learn like different fonts, but yeah, it is like kind of, it's very
soothing. And it would soothe me to just do it.
Yeah.
And so it kind of became a ministry. And I think that's what I've noticed of some of the sisters. There are some sisters that they've only like built an Instagram account like in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And what's I noticed is that, and they have their own offering, like one couple of sisters, they call themselves Nuns Plow, and there are plowing nuns. They like drive the tractors and plow our property at the mother house. But what's so beautiful is that's like the thing they do, but what they share is what they see.
Okay.
Like the magic of God's creation.
Although I'm telling you, there are people on YouTube with millions of followers who literally just mow people's lawns.
I know.
Like, I literally watched
and
it.
And I watch them. I totally
like,
watch them.
It's so satisfying. You're like, oh,
I know.
That was such an ugly, like overgrown lawn, and you made it so beautiful.
I know.
I love before and after something that's really ugly and that's turned beautiful. That's like my love. I love transformation.
Yeah,
so whether it is a dirty rug, that it will be cleaned.
Yes. Well, that's our
trash hoarder house that someone cleans. You know.
Yep. Our Christian hope is that all will be transformed.
There you go.
So there you go.
Nuns Plow. Okay, and then there's a group on TikTok, right?
Yes.
And they're doing really
well. Sister Bethany, she's, again, one of those that just has a gift and is insightful in using the medium in a way that's true to her vocation and that conveys those deeper things. Sister Orianne as well. And the beautiful thing is they have their personal accounts, but they also kind of manage and shepherd our corporate, like our Daughters of St. Paul account. Gotcha. And what we hope to do is like all of us point to the reason why we're there.
Right.
So maybe people will be like, what's this nun doing using that same little, the audio of this reel, but she's doing it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And that question or that little intrigue can draw them into places where we do get kind of glory stories or Absolutely. Stories of people saying, it impacted my faith.
Yep.
It opened my eyes. It showed me that I was living through something and there was hope for me. I went back to church. I mean, we've had people like testify to actual like resurrection from spiritual death. Like they were dead. Their spirit was dead. They were on the verge of ending everything. Wow. And something came in. They saw something. They encountered.
Like on social media. They social saw media. Something. Like saw one of your guys' posts. Yep.
Yep. And it led them through a path of like going back to God.
Wow.
Being brought into the sacraments. Like remembering that everything that they were living was a suffering, but that God was greater.
Yeah. Because so many of us who live in America, we're so America-centric, we forget there are people around the world watching. Like I've had people from different parts of the world be like, I'm from the Philippines. Yes. I'm from, like, they're from all over the world. Like from Europe, like just saying like, I watch your videos, like, thank you. Because sometimes I feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
No one else here understands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm the only one, so thank you, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in your guys' case, nuns are such a, first of all, people are like, what's a nun?
Yeah, what's a nun?
So they have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are parts of the world people have never, like, we are so spoiled as Catholics. Like, we have sisters over at our house. Like, our kids will know. Now, me growing up, I don't think I ever saw a nun. So I just had this idea like, oh, well, I could never be one because... Mm-hmm. To me, they're all old and they all wear glasses they seem very kind of dumpy frumpy. You know, like that was my until sister act. Like mm-hmm. literally I had never so the fact that my kids get to see very lovely, joyful, extrovert, like that could be like, oh, mm-hmm. Maybe God's calling me to be. Because before, if you don't see someone like you, you don't think you could be called to that. So there are going to be people on social media who are like, I've never even seen a nun. What mm-hmm. what is this person wearing this funny thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's, so it's like, runs the whole gamut.
You'll have people.
And then you'll have people who are raised Catholic and mm-hmm. go, it'll hit something.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Some had good experiences. Some had negative.
Absolutely.
Traumatic.
And so mm-hmm. I can imagine that resonates.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't see. So when they do see sisters,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, sisters can do that?
Mm.
Yeah. Wait, like sisters can play soccer? Like sisters in their habits? Like they can do fun things?
Not
like,
all of them can, I can tell you that.
Yeah, not all of them.
Yeah.
But there's like, oh, you're normal people?
Yes.
I think that, because people do that with priests too. Mm-hmm. Like they put them on this pedestal of like, oh, you're like angels. And like, no, they're human beings.
Yeah.
And they're normal humans who had a call.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, and I think if there was anything that like drew me to the Daughters of St. Paul, because I did visit like the monastic orders. And I remember, even as young as I was, I remember taking one foot step into that. And I was like, nope,
not doing that.
Like, not Tracy. Tracy's mouth is way too big to be able to handle this.
Look at the quiet. Cajuns coming out over there. Yeah, baby. What you put your fussing over there?
But, my goodness. So like, I think all of the different vocations have a place. But I remember when I encountered the sisters and like I felt at home, and it was very bizarre because I was like, I don't even know these people. They're not even from where I'm from.
Yeah.
Even the country, some of them were from a different country. I felt strangely at home. But what I felt at home with, I think, was what you saw was what you got.
Mm.
The sisters were who they were.
Love that. Yeah.
There's an authenticity and a genuine like... genuineness about their joy. Like we take what we do seriously, but we also can kind of laugh at ourselves. What I love about social media is it offers us windows to just do that in public. And so that, like you're saying, people can encounter that and be like, oh, you can do that? Like right. you can have a sense of humor.
You can plow.
Yeah, you can plow. You can drive a big truck, you know, or whatever.
You can be an artist.
You can be an artist.
Yeah.
You can sing, you know, you can think deeply. There's so many ways of witnessing, and it becomes like a little seed. And again, if it's planted on good soil or on the soil that's ready for it,
yeah,
it will draw the person maybe to the next thing. And I think the other beautiful thing, or the invitation of it, is that does it lead to encounter? Does it lead to the person becoming more human?
Amen.
Does it lead to the church being more human? Does it lead to our world being more human? And by that, reverent to the humanity and the holiness that what we are, that no, we're not perfect. If we were, we wouldn't need Jesus.
Right.
So let us glory in the fact that he has come, he loves us, and he calls us into relationship.
You and I could talk for a long time. I just have there are so many questions. Like my daughter says, I have a box in my head and it's full of questions.
Oh, I love that.
She's my philosopher. Mm-hmm. I just would love to end with a question. What are the blessings of being a sister, and what are the greatest challenges? Mm. I mean, I can think of like living with a bunch of women that you didn't necessarily choose what are the blessings, and then what are the sacrifices? Because every vocation, people can romanticize marriage, like, oh, it's all going to be perfect when you get married. And I'm like, all my problems will be solved. I'm like, actually, no, they're all exposed when you get married.
Yep.
So people can romanticize marriage, and they probably can romanticize being a sister. Like, when people are married, they romanticize, like, I could just be alone and praying all day. Like, Bobby does it all the time. Like, if I were just a monk, I could have quiet.
Yes.
I say, well, and if I die and the kids are grown, you can go be a monk.
Yes. And I have to say, as an extroverted personality, I love being with people. I love, you know, engaging. Yeah. But what I've learned is my vocation demands silence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I would say one of the blessings of my vocation is that true invitation to deep communion with God, and sometimes that can be lived and should be lived in the silence of prayer. Mm. And that's like a
tell me what that's like, sister.
Yeah. No. It's awesome.
Like, I was trying to read my Bible this morning, and I had like a kid being like turning my pages. I'm like, stop it. And she's like, what's that? I'm like, oh Lord. I'm like, Lord, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, so that's like it's a richness.
Yeah.
It's like a wealth that we're given every single day. And sometimes our founder would tell us, you know, if you start skimping on that, prepare, because your vocation could be in danger.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So it can be like, you know, so to take it for why it's given.
Yeah.
And it's to really live your life with your spouse and to have a deep relating with him. Like, I relate my life to the Lord. I tell him what it's like to be me. Yeah. And then I want to hear from him, and I can encounter him in his word. So all the the aspects of our life that can be very challenging, if that vocation is yours, you get the grace to be able to live it.
Amen.
Because a lot of people knew me before I entered, they were like, girl.
For real?
Yeah.
For real? No. I mean, there's the obvious sacrifice, like you don't have a physical family, physical husband, physical children, but there's that spiritual, again, God gives you the grace when you're called to that, the beauty of like the spiritual motherhood.
Yes.
Is such a you're being a gift to others in so many ways.
Yeah. And so
all women are called to be spiritual mothers in some capacity. Even when we're single, when we're married, we're called to be spiritual mothers
always.
Of souls.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I would say that that's one of the other blessings of the vocation, is almost like we get a front row seat to how God is saving and loving his people. And we do that because of our spiritual motherhood. We get to receive the gift of people who, you know, never met you before. And I can within 5 minutes, have a person reveal something that maybe they have not spoken of or said to another living human being.
Yeah.
And we get to receive that. And then also sometimes witness within a conversation God's movement. God is touching. God is changing something. Yeah. And it's glorious. It's, I could run miles from that beauty. Those are like two big things, you know. Yeah. Of course, also just having a community.
Yep.
And being challenged by that and being sometimes gutted out by it, mm-hmm. and then also being supported and surrounded, so that if I am also, sometimes it can happen that I, no matter what I do, cannot pray. I can turn to them and ask them, pray on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And they will, because they've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, and so do not be surprised or dismayed. Oh yeah, sometimes we go through that too.
Yeah, so we're not meant to be alone. Like, yeah. We're made for communion.
Yes,
all
yes,
of us, even yes. in single people who are single and listening. Like, you're made for community.
We are. We are.
Yeah, we all are.
And community is also built by my showing up to it, but also my being able to receive from it, and also.
Like vulnerability,
yep.
as well,
yep.
to be vulnerable.
To be yeah. vulnerable. And so the negative or the hard stuff mm-hmm. is when I don't want.
Like, stop telling me yeah. all the things I need to do.
When I have the don't wants, like my brother says, I got the don't wants. that I'm called to go against myself for the sake of someone other than myself. Yeah. And sometimes those demands can like hit my last nerve.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, okay, so I have a choice. Either I surrender and go to the resources that are at my disposal, whatever that might be, or I resist and suffer yeah. alone.
And what you just said just made me think of people in this world. We want to go to, what's easy. Pleasure. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to
path
go
of
to
least
the,
resistance.
The path of least we don't yeah. want to go to the hard places. Mm. So many people like, I don't, well, if I become Christian, mm-hmm. then my life's going to have to change. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, I don't want that. So yeah. I'm just going to go to a life of comfort, pleasure, mm-hmm. power, honor, glory, whatever for myself, mm-hmm. because it is a painful. So, but look at the joy, at the joy of people who are called by God to a vocation. You see the fruit of yeah. that vocation, whether it's marriage, whether it's a single chaste like celibacy, or like as a religious, mm-hmm. There are definitely discipleship. It's a Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the cost of discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult, and there's so much sacrifice, but there's so much beauty and joy
right.
and peace. It's like,
yes.
Ah.
Yes. And sometimes we don't have that eternal perspective.
Yeah.
And this is where, we can be deeply challenged, and at the same time, and so it's like a crucible, like there's something in us that's dying, mm-hmm. that the Lord is inviting us to put to death.
To so be crucified that, with him.
Mm-hmm, so yeah. that, so that I am prepared for the bridegroom, and,
Amen.
And he is doing this out of eternal love and wisdom for me. And to just trust him, even when, you know, sometimes I say, fake it till you make it. You know, it's like, I'm going to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so like sometimes I can tell, like even in community, we're reciting the Psalms. And I know it's like some Psalms, I'm not feeling it, Lord, but I'm going to put my mouth in the position of saying it, so that part of me that's still pagan, that doesn't believe yet, hears it.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, sister. Again, we could talk forever.
Yeah.
Respect your time. Aww. And just thank you so much for being here, for
awesome.
Coming on the podcast. And
thank you.
Thank you guys all for listening or for watching. I'm going to put the handles for the Instagram mm-hmm. and Twitter on yep. in our show notes okay. so people can find you.
Awesome.
And then any other places
yeah,
they can find you?
I'll send you a little list.
Great. Awesome. Okay, yeah. You guys, thank you so much for being part of this, and we'll see you next time.